All right, so today now we have our second workshop, and I think it's entitled on Christian dressing, right? Principles of Christian dressing. What I'm going to do today, we'll have a exhortation, a short exhortation or sort of discussion on general overarching principles that we can see or glean from the Bible, and then we will have a short activity after that, right? So that is today's plan. Let's begin a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this time now, and we pray as we gather for our workshop this afternoon, as we consider what thou hast instructed us in thy word concerning our dressing. We pray that thou help us to draw principles and lessons from thy truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Clothes. What is the purpose of clothes? It's like I want to begin with this question. What is the purpose of clothes? So we all wear clothes, right? We all have clothes for different purpose. When you came for this retreat, especially those who are staying over, you had to think, right? How many days? What clothes do I pack? What things am I going for? And you had a set of clothing that you packed that ideally would last you until tomorrow evening, right? Why? Why can't we all just, you know, wear a uniform for every single day and just, you know, wear clothes that work? Why is there variety? Why are there differences? We are all in a myriad of different attire. What's clothes for? That's our focus, right? Dressing. So dressing is to do with the things that we put on ourselves. So you think about this whole idea of clothing. What is the purpose of clothing? Anyone? Why do you wear what you wear? Keep warm. Yes, evidently, two of you here in the front, you have more clothing, and you wear more clothing that keeps you warm. So in the summer, we can do away with it, because it's very warm already, so we don't need those extra layers. Why do we not run around with nothing on in summer? I mean, keep warm is one of them. That's one of the functions of clothing. And we will dress according to the seasons, right? That's one function of clothing. What else? What's clothing for? Modesty, definitely, right? And that's a very biblical principle as well, right? Modesty is important. Adam and Eve were created naked. Yes, they were. And prior to the fall, it was not a concern. But the moment they fell into sin, they were ashamed because they were naked. And so instinctively, they knew that they had to cover up. And so they sewed leaves together to try, right, to cover their modesty. But that was not sufficient. And so when they heard the voice of God, what did they do? They went to hide because it says, oh, we were ashamed for we were naked. And God was the one then to cover them with animal skins, and in a way you can say God was the first seamstress, so to speak, right? The first creator of clothing. And yes, God did, you know, agree with them that it should not be that they run around naked, it is not proper, and so God made clothing out of animal skin for them and covered them. So modesty, definitely, is one consideration of clothing. What else? Identity. Okay. So over time, right, in culture, in society, clothing took on more than just a purely functional purpose, right? And so, well, different cultures have different clothing or traditional clothing, and it became also a way of expression. Right, everyone has different tastes in clothing. Everyone has a different style, And it's not wrong, right? But there are considerations that we have to have over that also, okay? So that is part of, well, why, you know, in any given day, there are a myriad of colors and styles and fashions and so many different clothing brands out there. What else? I mean, what other purposes do clothing serve today? Or perhaps you can put it another way, what sort of considerations do we have as we make our choice of clothing? So one is climate, right? Okay, is it cold or hot today? And so we choose accordingly. And of course, we have to make sure that our clothing will cover, right? Especially the right parts of us. And we understand that, modesty. We want our clothing to, you know, be us, right? We want to wear something that we feel comfortable in, not just physically, but, you know, in terms of your interaction and socially are comfortable in that as well. What else or what others that we think about? Function, in what sense? Fit for purpose or activity, right? And yeah, we don't turn up, right, for a social game of basketball in a suit and tie, okay? The clothing that you wear must also fit, right, the function or the event, right, or the thing that you are attending, the thing that you're going for. And so these are all the considerations that we have as we think about what we put on. Sometimes, yes, it can be a chore. Sometimes it can be a bother that we have to have all these considerations. But yet, well, that is part and parcel of being in a society, right? Being in a gathering of people. There are certain expectations, right? There are certain, you can say decorums that we have to meet up to. And that then becomes part of our testimony, right? The choice of clothing does matter. We cannot say that, oh, I don't care about fashion, right? I am not concerned about vanity. And so to me, clothing is not important. No, you still must care, right? You can't just dress according to comfort and the weather and say, that's all I'm concerned about. I want to be comfortable wherever I go. No, there is a certain sense of decorum that we have to have also in accordance to the events or the social situations that we are in. Okay? You can't turn up to school in your pajamas. As much as you think that, well, that is the most comfortable for me. No, you get into trouble, right? If you're not in your school uniform, in the proper uniform as well, well, there are certain standards that we follow. And in the larger society, that is that as well. You go to work, there is a certain dress code that they expect of you, right? You go to certain places, restaurants, cafes, and they have the right to turn you away if you are not properly dressed. Okay? So society has that. And what more should us as Christians? Okay? Because the considerations that we have, right, will go beyond just, well, what does this event call for? We must also pause and ask, now, what does the Lord require of us? Because while this morning we did say, right, that the Lord looketh not at the outward appearance as man does, he looks at the heart. But what I did also mention is that the heart will then manifest in the right outward appearance. You understand what I'm getting at? Right? You can't just say, I don't care, right? God doesn't care about my outward appearance, right? And so I can be shabbily dressed, I can have no concern whatsoever about my appearance. That is not right either. Okay? If your heart is in the right place, then your desire also will be that your testimony, your dressing will reflect a good testimony for the Lord. Okay? So, as we look into the Bible, we see that the Bible does have certain things to say about the way that we dress. Okay? For one, very directly, we have the idea of covering nakedness, right? The Bible continually does say that nakedness is something shameful, and it is not something that should be seen, right, in the public, not outside of, you know, your own private space. And so there was that, in Genesis chapter 3, we saw in Genesis chapter 9, there was an incident right after the flood when Noah, you know, he became a husbandman and he planted a vineyard. He drank fermented grape juice. And what happened? He got drunk, right, in Genesis chapter 9. And one of his sons went in. Canaan saw the nakedness of his father, but he didn't do anything about it. He didn't protect the modesty of his father. And instead, he went to tell his brothers about it. The brothers, who instead were very respectful, right? They were very careful. They walked backwards, did not want to see the nakedness of their father, covered him up. And when Noah came to find out about that, Canaan was cursed, right? Canaan was judged sorely for that act, for that behavior. He said, it was Noah's fault, right? In a way, yes, it was Noah's fault. But how they react to him, well, is also on them, right? That just because the person is, yes, uncovered in that way, it doesn't mean that you can stand and gawk, stare at them and say, oh, okay, that's interesting, fun. No. Okay, we have a responsibility into how we react to it. But nonetheless, what that tells us is that the Bible takes this seriously. Okay? The Bible takes this matter seriously. And we cannot be flippant about this. We can't say, we don't care, you know, my body, my choice, right? It's up to me. I can show whatever I want to show. I cover whatever I want to cover. No. The Bible's concerned about our dressing. The Bible also does mention in Deuteronomy 22 that we must distinguish between the dressing of a male and a dressing of a female. Today, there is this whole, you know, transgender movement, drag, cross-dressing, what have you. It is abomination in the sight of the Lord. Just be very clear about that. Okay? If you're a man, if you're a male, dress like a man. If you're a female, dress like a female. Okay? And that may change over time according to societal cultural norms, right? Scotsmen wear a kilt, which kind of looks like a skirt. But if you're not a Scotsman, you have no business wearing a skirt. Okay? So in certain cultures and traditions, yes, men dress in a certain way, and so that is the man's dress. In certain cultures and situations, well, female or women dress in a certain way. But there has to be that distinction. Okay? Yes, it's true, in shops there will be certain attire that is, you know, what they call unisex. That's fine. Okay? But as long as this is something that is known to be masculine, allow it to remain masculine. If a certain type of dressing is feminine, allow that to remain feminine as well. Okay? And that, again, is a very distinct law, instruction that the Bible has for us, Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Very, very clear. Okay? So all these people today, they said, I identify as female, I identify as male, I am a transgender, what have you. Sin, simply put. Okay? No two ways about it. The Bible is clear. But the main passage really I want us to turn to is in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Okay? That will be the main text I want to think of, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 10. I want to bring us through some broad guidelines that the Bible gives us concerning our view or understanding of dressing. Okay? And we have to, well, think carefully through these things. Where it helps us to have certain guidelines, you may say, or certain views or certain ways of thinking, right, as we think about the clothing that we put on. And really, the focus really then becomes on the why, right? Not so much on the what. I mean, sometimes the what is important as well, you know, exactly what do we wear, and, you know, how long, how short. All these things, yes, it does matter to an extent, but behind that, more importantly, is the why, right? Because we don't want to just set guidelines and say, okay, you have to follow these set of guidelines and just leave it as such. We want to be convicted by the Word of God as to the why behind that. So let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 10. Let's read these two verses together. Are we there? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 to verse 10. Okay, let's begin. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Amen. We thank God for the reading of His Word. Now, while it does directly address women, the principles apply for both. Okay, so we're going to view that from that perspective. So, firstly, we want to look at the inward guidelines, the inward thoughts, inward desires of a person as they put on their clothing. Okay, what are certain principles to guide us in our inward? So really three main thoughts, right? Inward, outward, and upward. And that's how I will outline this. Inward, that means your inmost thoughts, your desires, the outwards, right? So, okay, actually what we put on, and then upwards, well, that is pertaining to God, how that relates, how the choice of clothing relates or reflects godliness and our relationship to God, which is in line with our theme for this camp also. So firstly, a few things that are being described here in the first line here. It says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves, firstly, in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. Okay? Modesty, that's the first thought here. And I think that's something that has been raised. And modesty is, of course, something very clear that we have to be very concerned about. Okay? So your clothing must always be modest. Male or female, right? Same. What does that mean? To different people, they have a different interpretation of these things. But what I would say is that it is much better that we err on the side of caution. Meaning to say, we cover up more rather than trying to skirt the edge, walk near the cliff, and you know try to cover up as least as possible without getting into trouble. Okay, so I believe in schools, you have certain guidelines, right, which you know, to varying degrees, they'll try to enforce. Okay? They will say for girls, right, you make sure that your skirt is a certain length, right? That's part of modesty. You don't want to show too much. And you will say, oh, but everyone else does that, right? They hem in their skirts, they pull it up and all that. No, modesty, okay? There are, well, just parts of your body that should not in any occasion be shown to the world. And so that is the principle of modesty, right? And so he says, you know, women, adorn yourselves. That means to dress yourselves in a particular decent, orderly, and seemly manner. Okay? Men and women, both. And yes, there will be differences in a sense, right? In, say, coming to church, coming for fellowship, and perhaps a day out in the park on a summer's day, right? Yes, you know, there's occasions where it's hotter, it's warmer, and we want to wear, you know, more comfortable clothing suited to the climate. We understand that. But always also carefully ask, right? Does this border on immodesty, right? Is this something, you know, that would cause a person to want to take a second glance at you purely because they are attracted by the flesh? And that's a way to think about it, isn't it? In putting this on, do I have that sort of negative or sinful thoughts that, oh, hopefully a guy or a girl will take a second look at me because of my physical appearance? Okay? And I mean, that is also something that we have to think about. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 14, right, that we must in no occasion put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You care for the people around you. You know, you cannot just say, oh, is my body my choice for the sake of my comfort, right? It's so hot today. I just want to wear the bare minimum. I don't care what people see. I don't care what people say. No, you should care. You should care out of a concern for your brother, for your sister in Christ. Right? So if you think of your clothing and you ask, now, would that cause a person to want to take a look, second look at me just purely for lust reasons? Then you be very careful. No, that is not a right attire to be in. Okay? That must never be our desire, that our clothing would cause us to be the object of lust, of sinful desire from someone else. That is not attractiveness, right? That is shamefulness, right? And so he says, no, cover up, okay? Whether it is showing the flesh, you know, or wearing, you know, those very, very form-fitting, tight-fitting clothes, right, that would accentuate whatever it is that you want to accentuate, no, okay? And that is not just in the church or not just in the fellowship setting. Your standards should be same, whoever, whatever the company it is that you are keeping, okay? Yes, it is the responsibility of the person not to look, right? If I look upon a woman with lust, that is my fault also, that is my sin. But at the same time, right, you know, as loving, concerned sisters and brothers in Christ, we must not also be the occasion or be the cause for someone else to fall into sin. So that's the first thought, right? Modesty. And the second word that we see here is shamefacedness. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? It really has this idea of that sense of bashfulness, respect, even reverence. And so it has this idea here that our clothing must also reflect that sense of respect or reverence that we have. Okay? So shamefacedness does not mean that I am very ashamed, right? But it has that sense of, yeah, also reflecting along, continuing along the idea of modesty. But it has more that sense of decorum, right? A sense of decorum fitted to the occasion. And so the opposite of this would be sort of a very flippant, a brash, an impudent sort of desire. People who want to be loud, they want to make a statement, they want to be very showy, you know, in their dressing. And so he says, no, that should not be the Christian's purpose or idea. Because sometimes people say, yeah, I'm very modest, right? I cover up all the right places, but at the same time, your outfit is very loud. The outfit is one that screams, look at me, look at me. You're drawing attention. Okay? However it is that you are dressed. And that should also not be a desire that we have. Okay? Where, you know, our desire should not be that we want to draw attention to ourselves, right? Based on our outward appearance, right? It should be one in which we are sober. That's the third thought, right? Sober. Sober-minded, and that is the idea here of self-control, where we are the ones in control. We are not unduly influenced, right, by anyone else that seeks to try to control the way that you dress. We understand that peer pressure can be, well, quite a difficult thing to contend with. If you dress in a certain way, your classmates may have certain opinions. So why are you such a prude? Right? You're so old-fashioned. Ah, look at you, right? Now, it doesn't mean that you have to dress badly, right? There can be a way which we dress modestly, shamefacedly, right? But yet in a very presentable fashion. But you are the one in control. You are not guided or affected by the fashions of the world, right? You are not unduly affected by what other people think of you. And truth be told, and it may be hard to accept maybe right now or, you know, when we are in our teenage years, but people really aren't that concerned about how you look, okay? I understand, and we all went through that sort of age, time, where we're very conscious, right, of what people think of us. And we feel that, you know, if I go out, well, everybody's going to stare at me. right? And so we very, very carefully pick out each item of clothing, right? We fuss over every little thing, the way that our hair falls, the little pimple that we grew up, that we woke up and saw, and we're so troubled, right? What's everyone going to see? What's everyone going to say? It's actually really okay, right? It's okay. People don't really care that much. And if you find yourself surrounded by friends that are very obsessed about these things, maybe we should look for better friends, right? Friends that are not so excessively, disproportionately vain and concerned about outward appearances. It's easy to be influenced by them, right? And everyone has that, you know, nice new dress, nice new shirt. Everyone has that style, the way they wear their hair, the way they you know, carry themselves. And you go to realize that a lot of these things really don't matter. It really does not matter. Okay? There are far more important things to be concerned about than the way that people look at you, the way that you want people to think of you. And truth be told, 99% of the people that you meet will not remember the outfit that you have chosen. Okay? That's the way it is. That's the fact of the matter. Okay? And so sobriety means that you are in control. You are not swayed, pushed, influenced, right, by what everyone else thinks about you or what you think people are thinking about you. Okay? Sobriety means that we have self-control. We are the ones that are consciously thinking, actively thinking, right, about how we dress. Okay? And it will be in line with the principles that we have said here. Modesty, right? That's the desire for shamefacedness, that you know, we almost can say sense of shame in a sense, right? Where we don't want to be flamboyant, we don't want to be loud, and we want to be in control. So that will be the inward principles that we adopt, right? Things that we think about, you know, as we consider, you know, how is it that I want to be presented to the world? But that will affect the outward. You know, a lot of times we say, yeah, we don't want to dictate, we don't want to set, you know, standards to say, oh, it has to be this long, that short, don't wear this, do wear that, do's and don'ts, right? But you notice, actually, that Paul does do that in the second half of this verse, right? And he actually delves into pretty specific guidelines here. Not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. So, your inward will necessarily affect the outward, right? That means if you are guided by principles of modesty, of shamefacedness, and sobriety, it will then change, right, the choices that you make. And so Paul goes down to the details here, and he says the outward matters. The outwards do matter. You can't just say, yes, yes, inwardly I'm modest, but then your outward reflects an entirely different thing. And so he says, now be very careful. Don't. And he's actually making a pretty specific guideline here. Stop braiding your hair. Okay? Don't adorn yourself excessively with all these expensive things, golds and pearls. And so it seemed that that was the problem then. Right? It's not to say that gold is absolutely wrong all the time. Right? Or pearls are absolutely always wrong. I mean, there are people that wear pearls, but you do it in a very tasteful way. That's fine. It seemed that, yeah, at that point of time, that was the thing. That was fashion. These were the things that everybody was going for. Okay? And so Paul had to put a stop to this. He says, hey, yeah, think about it. Why are you chasing after the fashions of the world? Right? The world wants to do that, and they are spending an inordinate, excessive amounts of money on these things beyond what you can afford. Why? Why do that? And, I mean, the world does that today. And sometimes it can be quite shocking, right? The amount of money that people spend just for that label, just for that name, just for that brand, okay? I don't know how many of you follow all these things, but apparently, right, and sometimes these things go about and it says, oh, you know, a T-shirt, you know, a shirt can be $1,000 over, right, a dress, a designer dress by this designer, right, can go for thousands of dollars. And I mean, you look at it, it really looks the same as, you know, what you can see in Kmart and Target and things like that. But because it was done by a designer, because there's that little brand there, or it costs hundreds or thousands of dollars more. Okay? And there are certain materials that people would die for. Okay? Whether it's some finest silk or some expensively made cloth or garment, or what is it, wool or leather or whatever materials, right? This is, oh, you know, this is the finest Italian cloth, or this is spun from, you know, the goat of the mountain somewhere, and it's the best. Yeah, okay, there will be all these things that people will chase after. That's one thing, the fashions of the world. And Paul says, you know, put a stop to that. Right? Think about what you are wearing. And what is the objective that you have as you put on these clothing? And it seemed then that, you know, this was really to draw attention to themselves, right? It was a means or ways to show off. That, well, you know, look at me. I can afford these, you know, costly array, these sort of branded materials, branded goods. I'm not saying that we should stay away from every brand at all, because, I mean, in our day and age, everything has a brand, right? Whether it's Anko from Target or whatever brand it is out there, they're all brands, right? And you can, you know, have a particular purchase you make for a particular reason. And we're not here to judge each other, right? To say that, oh, okay, if you spend $50 on a t-shirt, is quite bad. If you spend $1,000 on the t-shirt, you are terribly bad. No, we're not putting dollar amounts on these things. Okay? But again, it's something that we have to think about. Do not spend beyond your means, right? If you think that, well, you know, I have to save up for many, many weeks in order to afford one piece of clothing, something's wrong about your priorities here, right? Piece of clothing is just something that you wear for a period of time, for a short period of time. If it is something that you have to save up for a long time for just to get one piece of clothing, is it really worth it? And are we setting our priorities in the right place? Okay. But you see, we must also understand that you know, people have different purchasing power. Okay. You can't just say, oh, you know, I need to save up for 10 weeks just to buy that jacket. Someone else sees and assesses that piece of jacket and says, okay, this will be good, right, for me. You know, it's something that I can well afford. It's something that will be useful for me in this particular climate. And then they just buy it because to them, you know, they can well afford it, right? So to them, it's not a costly array, and well, we're not here to judge each other again, okay? Because what is very normal to you is something terribly expensive for someone else, but also terribly cheap for someone else. Okay, so it's all relative. But again, it's something that it's all personal to ourselves. We have to ask, why? Why am I seeking to acquire this particular item of clothing? What drives me? Is it my vanity? Is it my pride? And if those things, then it's wrong, right? That I am doing, you know, trying to spend all this excessive, whatever it is, time, effort, energy, right? Caring so much about my appearance, is that really the priority of a believer? Okay, so the outward matters, and his outward is something that we have to think about. It's personal, right, but it is something that we have to be guided again by biblical principles. And so Paul set this list for them at that point of time. The list today might look something different, right, and it is something that is ever and constantly changing. Suffice to say, do not chase or do not feel that need to chase after the fashion of this world. Right? Because very often, the whole fashion industry, it is motivated by things that are not godliness, right? It is motivated by profit. It is motivated by the carnal lusts of the flesh. It is motivated by vanity, right? It is motivated by all these worldly things. And the Christian has to be separate and apart from that. Finally, we look upwards, right? So he says, no, right? Not with broidered hair, not with gold or costly array, but instead, right? How must we adorn ourselves? We must adorn ourselves with good works. And that becomes really your attractiveness, so to speak, right? That becomes your adornment. That becomes, or that should be what people notice you for. Not your looks, not your dressing, right? Not your, you know, expensive or lack thereof of whatever adornment that you have. Your adornment is simply good works, because that is of women who profess godliness. That means, it's basically saying that, that, you know, people who are godly will have this adornment. Okay? We talked about godliness yesterday. We know what it means, right? It means being like Christ, being like God. And so that becomes your adornment, and that is that should then be what we are primarily focused on. Serving the Lord. Living that godly life. And when we do so, that becomes your attractiveness. And I say this in particular to the young people here, right? Those that are not married. Yes, it is a concern, right? I'm sure maybe right now, in a couple of years' time, you will enter to a time where you're starting to look for a life partner. How do you go about attracting, so to speak, those of the opposite gender? If you dress like the world, right, and you draw them in by just physical appearances, what sort of spouse do you think you're going to find? Are you going to find a godly woman, godly man? If you just think that if I dress in a certain way, all the guys will come, all the girls will come. They all line up to get my number, right? Because I dress in this way, I'm pretty, I'm sexy. You will get the wrong spouse, rest assured, right? Because they are attracted to you for all the wrong reasons. But if our adorning, that means our attractiveness, right? The things that we want to put on is good works, is godliness. And if a person is drawn to you because of that, for that reason, yes, that is man, the woman that God has chosen for you. That is the best possible life partner that we can find. Okay? And I'm not saying dressing is not important, but we have to dress according to biblical standards. We have to carefully think, what is my purpose in choosing this item of clothing? What are the considerations that I have before I dress? What excites me about this piece of clothing? Am I craving the recognition and the admiration of people? Right, there's an excitement, say, wow, you know, your dress, your shirt, so pretty today, you look so wonderful, you look so nice. Now, of course, everybody likes a little compliment here and there, right? But that is not my priority. That is not why I put on these things. Whose favor do I really seek? Is it outward or upward? Am I concerned about my godliness more, or am I concerned about my outward appearance? Right? So, well, that is something that all of us have to think about, right? As we put on the clothing that we put on, am I trying to be cool or flashy or turn heads? Likewise, it should not be then to the other extreme, right? You may sit here and think, well, I don't care. Clothes, yeah, no difference to me. But then we run on the danger of the end of things, right? Where we become sloppy, we become uncaring, and we do not dress fit for the occasion. That is also something that we have to be careful about as we think of the choice of clothing, right? We don't turn up for worship service in shorts and slippers. And you say, I'm hot, I don't care. Yeah, no, there is a sense of decorum that has to be there also, right? You don't, you know, not bathe for a week and then come and say, I don't care, I'm comfortable. No, people around you are not comfortable, right? Because of your sloppiness, because of your lack of care and concern. And so, yes, outward appearance, as we said this morning, is not really the most important thing, but there is still, it does still matter. It is your testimony, right, of what people see as they have that first impression of you. So what is the testimony that I want to bear? Am I going around seeking to be worldly, or am I going around seeking to bear the adornment of godliness and good works?